Hare Krishna to all devotees once again. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Bhavaneshwar Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Bhagavatam, Cosmology and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chanto 5 onwards. Before handing the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Raj Prabhuji to give the brief introduction about our speaker today. Hare Krishna Raj Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanava Pranam.
All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhuji, to give the
Thank you, Mataji. Dhanava Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Mataji. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji is a senior brahmachari devotee residing in Mumbai, India. He is part of the Vedic cosmology team where he works closely with His Grace Vamsidas Prabhu regarding translation of Surya Siddhanta. Vamsidas is a scientist working in Rochester. Bhavaneshwar Das Prabhu also teaches at the Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. He teaches courses on Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhavaneshwar Prabhu graduated from Indian Institute of Science with a Master's in Electrical Engineering. He graduated with the honors as a gold medalist and academic distinction rarely achieved. His interest in cosmology study has led him to elaborate on the design and the structure of the universe as described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Working with a team of students at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth at Govardhan Eco Village, Mumbai, India, Bhavaneshwar Prabhu and team systematically understood and elaborated the Vedic cosmos, thus resulting in the release of a book called Bhagavat Cosmology. His book is very well researched and his cosmology series is very popular on YouTube as serving as a guidance for those who desire to study the complex Vedic cosmology. Thank you, Mataji. This was a brief introduction of on to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Raj Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji is on the call, Mataji.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Please accept our humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us. I would like to hand over the call to you. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for allowing me to continue the sessions. So we'll offer the prayers, then we'll go ahead with the discussion. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsham Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitancha Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindhavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ టు ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ ఫర్ అవర్ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ లెక్చర్స్ ఆన్ భాగవత్ కాస్మాలజీ. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ సెషన్స్ వి బ్రీఫ్లీ డిస్కస్డ్ అబౌట్ హౌ ప్రివ్రత్ మహారాజ్ హ్యాడ్ డివైడెడ్ ద ఎంటైర్ భూమండల ఇన్ టు 7 ద్వీపాస్ బై క్రియేటింగ్ 7 కాన్సెంట్రిక్ ఓషన్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ సరౌండింగ్ ద 7 సర్క్యులర్ ద్వీపాస్. అండ్ దెన్ వి సా దట్ ప్రివ్రత్ మహారాజ్ హ్యాడ్ డివైడెడ్ ది 7 ద్వీపాస్ అమాంగ్ ది 7 సన్స్. ద ఫస్ట్ అండ్ ద ఇన్నర్ మోస్ట్ ద్వీప నోన్ యాజ్ జంబు ద్వీప has been given to his son known as Agnidra, and Agnidra is the ruler of entire Jambudvipa, and within Jambudvipa there are 9 divisions known as 9 varshas, and they are known as Kimpurusha varsha, Hari varsha, Ketumala varsha, Bhadrasva varsha, Ilavruta varsha, Rammeka varsha, Hiranmaya varsha, Kuru varsha, and also Bharata varsha. And we discussed about dimensions about all these places, and specifically the different facilities that are available within Ilavruta Varsha, different mountains, different lakes, different gardens, different rivers, and different facilities that make one prosperous, etc. Having briefly discussed about the different opulences of Ilavruta Varsha, then we briefly discussed about how Ganga, because of the intervention of Lord Vamana, who by becoming Trivikrama created a crack in the universal shell, then the causal ocean entered into our universe, passing through all the planetary systems. It comes down to the top of Mount Meru, then divides into 4 big streams, goes in 4 directions and falls on Jambudvipa, travels all over Jambudvipa, and eventually unites with the surrounding saltwater ocean. So like that, Ganga also has different streams going through different varshas of Jambudvipa, direct connection with Jambudvipa. That's how it is being presented. Then in that same 17th chapter, Bhagavatam talks about, other than Bharata Varsha, remaining 8 varshas are known as Bhauma Swarga, the heavenly abodes on the earthly level. Those people, because of their piety, who were ascended to Divya Swarga, the main heavenly planets, either Bhurloka or Swargaloka, most of their piety is exhausted there. Then while they are returning on their path back to Bharata Varsha, which is known as Karma Bhumi, they kind of take birth in one of these Bhauma Swargas, one of these 8 Varshas of Jambudvipa, and where they live for 10,000 years. They are born with all the variety of mystic potencies, and they have the strength of 10,000 elephants. They experience the happiness like that of Treta Yuga, and their wives conceive children only in the last year. That is how they understand that, okay, now their life is about to end. So in that last year, they beget many, many children. And then they come to Bharata Varsha. That's how it is being mentioned. So having shown the contrast vis-a-vis Bharata Varsha, Bharata Varsha is Karma Bhumi, and other 8 Varshas are like Bhauma Swargas. And whatever facilities are there in Ilavruta Varsha, we can accept that all the other Varshas also, other Varshas of Bhauma Swarga also have same facilities. So that they are all naturally prosperous. People don't need to work hard, simply enjoy. The place are meant for enjoyment, etc., etc. Then Bhagavatam goes on describing the prayers offered by the leaders of all these places. For example, in Kimpurusha Varsha, Hanumanji Sugriva worshipping Lord Ram, offering beautiful prayers. Hari Varsha, Prahlad Maharaj worshipping Lord Narasingadev. In Kimpurusha, Ilavruta Varsha, Lord Shiva worshipping Lord Sankarsana. Ketumala Varsha, Mother Lakshmi worshipping Lord Rishikesha, Lord Vishnu, or something like that. In Bhadrasha Varsha, Bhadrasarva is worshipping Lord Hayagriva. In Rammeka Varsha, the 7th Manu, the current Manu, Shraddha Deva worshipping Lord Matsya. And then in Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Bhudevi, Bhumi personified worshipping Lord Varaha. And in Bharata Varsha, Narada Muni is worshipping Lord Naranarana Rishis. And Bhagavatam 4th canto says that Naranarana Rishis, from the very beginning of the day of Brahma, they were born as the sons of Murti, who was one of the 13 daughters of Daksha, one of the 16 daughters of Daksha, who was given marriage to Dharma, 13th wife. And Dharma begot through Murti, Naranarayana, the two lords, twin lords. And since then, from the beginning of the Swayambhu Manvantara, they are performing austerities in greater Himalayas for the well-being of all of us. And Narada Muni is their ardent disciple and is offering prayers to them. And also teaching the future Manu, the Savarni Manu. So like that, all the prayers are mentioned all the way up to 19th chapter, verse number 15. So now, from verse number 16 to the rest of the chapter, talks about Bharata Varsha. What is Bharata Varsha? The glories of Bharata Varsha, etc. So today we'll try to understand what is Bharata Varsha, etc. And here, and today we are going to see where are we, where we are actually stationed in the entire universe. So now let us get into it. In Bharata Varsha, just as in Ilavruta Varsha, there are many mountains and rivers. In Ilavruta Varsha, we have seen many, many mountains. In each side of the Mount Meru, there are two twin mountains, and then one huge mountain, top of which one big tree. Then there are very tall mountains, 5-5 in each direction. So like that. Some of the mountains are Malaya, Mangala Prastha, Mainaka, Trikuta, Rushabha, Kutaka, Kollaka, Saya, Devagiri, Rishamukha, Srishaila, Venkata, Mahindra, Varidara, Vindhya, Suktiman, Rukshagiri, Pariyatra, Drona, Chitrakuta, Govardhana, Raivataka, Kakuba, Neela, Gokamukha, Indrakila, and Kamagiri. So of course, there are so many mountains. We might have heard here and there their names, but at least as for my little remembrance, those mountains are in different color. That's what we can think of. Sayadri mountains, which are very close to this Western Ghats. We are in Mumbai on the western part of India. Devagiri mountains also somewhere here. Srishaila in Andhra Pradesh, Srishaila mountains are very famous. And Venkatachala, Tirupati, Mahindragiri, from where Hanumanji jumped to go to Lanka. Chitrakuta, Lord Ram stayed there. Ram Bharat, Milan, it happened there. And Govardhan, maybe I thought it is the same Govardhan which is in Vrindavan. So like that. So we also hear about Raivataka Mountain in Krishna Lila. Lord Krishna, when he was trying to avoid the fight with Jarasandha on the 18th time, Krishna and Balaram kind of flee away from the battlefield. They climb onto Raivataka Mountain. I think so. It is Raivataka. No. It is Prashravana Mountain. Somewhere we have heard about Raivataka Mountain somewhere in Bhagavatam. I don't know exactly. So something like that. At least few I remember I put in different color. So something like that. Besides this, there are many other hills with many large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. So all these rivers are the sources of variety of rivers. So many rivers are coming down from these slopes of these rivers. So the inhabitants of Bharata Varsha contact these pure rivers by their mind, by their minds, matlab thinking about them within the mind, by touching their body, matlab going there and taking bath and uttering their names, chanting their names like Gangecha, Yamune Cheva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalasmin, Sandhokuru, in order to purify the water, we chant these mantras. So something like that. Just by chanting their names, we can invoke the presence of all these auspicious rivers, etc. Something like that. So the very prominent rivers are Brahmaputra, Sona, Chandravasa, Tamraparni, Avatoda, Kutamala, Vaihayashi, Kaveri, Veni, Payashvini, Shakra Ravata Ravartra, Tungabhadra, Krishnavenya, Bhimarati, Godavari. So like that. So there are many rivers. So I have put some rivers about whom we come across traveling in across India. Brahmaputra, Tamraparani, Kritamala, Kaveri, Tungabhadra, Krishnaveni, Godavari, Narmada, Mahanadi, Yamuna, Saraswati, Gomati, Sarayu, like this. Some of the rivers, which at least as far as my knowledge allows. So we come across these rivers. So Sarayu is in Ayodhya. Gomati River is in Naimisharanya. Saraswati, Himalayas. Yamuna, Ganga, they are all famous, of course. Godavari in South India flows through Andhra Pradesh, our former Andhra Pradesh. Narmada, Mahanadi, Krishnaveni also. Krishnaveni, Tungabhadra also go passing through our Andhra Pradesh, the place. Kaveri, the very famous Srirangapatnam, Srirangam on the bank of Kaveri, etc. Tamraparani is there in the further South India, in Tamil Nadu. On the bank of Tamraparani, there are 9 famous Divyadeshams are there. That name is called as Navatirupati. So like that. So all these rivers, when we go on pilgrimage, we come across. So we can see all these names. So like that, in 2-3 verses, the different mountains and different rivers that are there in Bhartavarsha are kind of mentioned in Bhagavatam. Then the next verse, Bhagavatam talks about the principal activities the people in Bhartavarsha generally perform. Asmin eva varshe purusheir labdha janmabhi shukla lohita krishna varnena swarabdena karmana divya manusha naraka gatayo bhavya atmana anupurvyena sarvahi eva sarvesham vidhiyante yata varna vidanam apavargascha api bhavati. So this verse says, in Bhartavarsha there are many destinations such as heavenly, human and elish. As Prabhupada always quote this verse from Bhagavad Gita chapter 14, Urdhvam gacchanti sattasva madhye tishtanti bharata jaganna gunarutyasya adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who perform activities in the mode of goodness, Shukla means activities in the mode of goodness, they will go to Swarga. Those who perform activities in the mode of passion, Lohita means, it's like what we can say, metal, iron. Shukla is white and Lohita is like metal kind of thing. That they will take birth again among the humans. And Krishna Varna refers to black. That means the activities in the mode of ignorance. They will take birth in lower hellish planetary system, something like that. So heavenly, human and hellish are prescribed for all people because people take birth according to actions in Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. Whatever activities you perform in the previous lives, either in the mode of goodness or mode of passion, mode of ignorance, accordingly our next birth is determined. All these destinations are prescribed for the self according to the quality of their actions, as indicated in the Vedas. Anupurvena sarva hi eva sarvesham vidhiyante yata varna vidanam. As it is mentioned in the Vedic literatures, when people perform activities according to their varna and ashrama, accordingly the destination is allocated. That is the indication. And apavargascha apibhavati. Eventually, the special prerequisite of, or the special feature of, or special USP of Bharata Varsha is that apavargascha apibhavati. Liberation is then achieved. So achieving liberation is the special USP of Bharata Varsha. That is indicated. So in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada talks about the importance of following Varnashrama duties. By following Varnashrama duties, we can actually purify our current existence and we can attain a good destination in the future lives, something like that in that effect. Eventually attaining perfection of our life also possible by following Varnashrama duties and practicing bhakti. Like that, to that effect, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from various Puranas in this verse, goes into more details about Bharata Varsha. What Bharata Varsha is all about. So let us try to examine those quotations from various Puranas such as Vishnu Purana, etc. and try to understand about Bharata Varsha in more detail. Bharatasya Varshasya Navavedan Nishamaya. In Bharata Varsha, there are 9 divisions. Navavedan means 9 divisions, 9 distinctions. What are the 9 divisions? They are actually 9 dvipas, which comes in the later part of the shloka. Their names are mentioned in between 2 lines. Indradvipa, Kaseru, Tamravarna, Babasiman, Saumya, Nagadvipa, Gandharva, Varuna, and. So out of the 9 divisions, the names of the 8 divisions are mentioned. The name of the 9th division is not at all not mentioned in this shloka. And in regards to the 9th one, it is said as, Ayam tu navamastesham. And this is the 9th one. Ayam tu means this. This one is the 9th one. Dvipa Sagar Samruta. That island which is located on the bank of the ocean is the 9th one. And Yojananam Sahasrantu. And the dimensions of this 9th Dvipa is 1000 Yojanas. Dvipo Ayam Dakshinottarat. When you measure from north to south or south to north, the dimension of this 9th Dvipa is 1000 Yojanas. The 9th bordering the ocean, which is 1000 Yojanas from north to south, is known as Bharata or Bharatakanda. So Ayam tu Navamastesham, among the 9, this is the 9th one from which the entire Varsha gets its name. The 9th one is actually called as Bharata because of which the entire area gets the name Bharata Varsha. And for more precise, for more accuracy, we will call the 9th division as Bharata Kanda because Kanda means a division. Just like Ramayana, we have 7 Kandas, Bala Kanda, Ayodhya Kanda, Aranya Kanda, Kishkinda Kanda, Sundara Kanda, Yuddha Kanda, and Uttara Kanda. So like that, Kanda means a division. In Mahabharata, we have Parvas. Sabha Parva, Vana Parva, Virata Parva, Udyoga Parva, Bhishma Parva, Drona Parva. First one is the Adi Parva. Then after Drona Parva is Karna Parva, Shalya Parva. Like the Stri Parva, Sautika Parva, Stri Parva, Shanti Parva, Anushasana Parva. Like that, there are 18 Parvas in Mahabharata. In the Bhagavatam, we have Skandas. Pratama Skanda, Dvitiya Skanda, Dvitiya Skanda, Chaturthik Skanda, Ekadasha Skanda, Dvadasha Skanda. We have 12 divisions. We call it as Kagantos. So basically, there are different terminology used for denoting division. So Kanda means a division. There are 9 divisions, out of which the 9th one is actually the Bharata Kanda, because of which the entire area gets the name Bharata. That's why it is called as Bharata Varsha. That is indicated by the word Ayamtu. Ayamtu means this one about which we are discussing now. So this 9th one is called Bharata because of which the entire area also called Bharata. The names of the other 8 are given very nicely. So the 9th one, the 9th Dvipa, 9th island is bordering the ocean. It is 1000 yojanas from north to south. It is called as Bharatakanda or Navadvipa, or it is called as Sudarshana Dvipa. It is also called as Sudarshana Dvipa. And a person, whoever is born in one of these 9 divisions, is limited to only one of these divisions for the entire life. In general, ordinarily, a person, whoever is born in any one of these 9 divisions, cannot go from one division to other division. And the understanding is that all the scriptures are compiled by Srila Vyasadeva at the beginning of the current Kali Yuga for the people of Kali Yuga. And when this term is used, one person is limited to one of these 9 divisions only for the entire life, especially for the people of Kali Yuga. It may or may not applicable to the people of the previous ages, because the people in the previous ages are more elevated in their consciousness, more elevated in their abilities. They could travel from one location to other location. But for now, even in the past also, in the previous ages also, maybe may not be everyone might be traveling, but few are qualified to travel. People in general may not be qualified to travel. But in general, whether for Kali Yuga or for other places, people in general cannot go from one place to other place for their life. Only some special people can go. Sagara Tamruta means, which is located at the edge of the ocean. So, Vishnu Purana talking about the 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha, and 5th canto of Bhagavatam directly not talking about the 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha, but it is indirectly spoken in the 5th canto, and it is directly spoken elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, and we'll see those references in this slide. So, taking references from 2nd chapter onwards, based on the details mentioned in them, So Prevrat Maharaj had 10 sons through his wife, first wife. And out of 10, 3 became Naishtika Brahmacharis and eventually Sannyasis, etc. And the remaining 7 became the rulers of 7 islands of Bhumandala. The first one is Agnidra, who is the leader of, who is the ruler of the entire Jambudvipa. He married Purvachitti. And through Purvachitti, we got 9 sons. Nabi, Kimpurusha, Hari, Ilavruta, Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Bhadrashva, Ketumala. So, intelligently, Agnidra kind of made 9 divisions of within Jambudvipa, or they are already there, but he named them with the names of his sons. And he gave them those respective lands to those respective sons. One portion of the land he gave it to Nabi, and it became known as Nabi Varsha. Other portion was given to Kimpurusha. It became known as Kimpurusha Varsha. Other portion was given to Hari. It became known as Hari Varsha. And other portion was given to Ilavruta. It became known as Ilavruta Varsha. Like the Rammeka Varsha, Hiranmaya Varsha, Kuru Varsha, Bhadrashva and Ketumala Varshas. So the places got the name of the sun, so that there is no more confusion, no more conflict among the sons. That was the idea of their father, Agnidra. So eventually, the 9 sons were married to 9 daughters of Meru, known as Meru Devi, Pratirupa, etc., etc. So Nabi married to Meru Devi. And in order to beget a son, Nabi performed a huge sacrifice in order to please the Supreme Lord. Lord Vishnu appeared. Then Nabi requested, "My dear Lord, I want to have a son who is like you." Then Lord said, "I don't have anyone who is like me. I will only become your son." The Supreme Lord appeared as the son of Nabi. So he was known as Ajnaba. Aja means the Supreme Lord who is unborn. Since he appeared as the son of Nabi, he has become known as Ajnaba. And his other name is Rishabhadeva, Lord Rishabhadev, who appeared as the son of Nabi. So as long as Nabi was ruling, that place was known as Nabi Varsha. When Rishabhadeva became youthful after his marriage with Jayanti, Nabi gave the entire responsibility to Lord Rishabhadev, and Nabi went to forest to take a Vanaprastha order. While Rishabhadev was ruling the entire land, it became known as Ajnaba Varsha. And at one point of time, Rishabhadeva's glories were glorified all over the universe. The entire Swargaloka is filled with the glories of Lord Rishabhadeva. And Indra became a little bit disturbed. Hey, how is this? This person is more glory than me. What is the speciality of this person? In order to test him, Indra did not pour rains for a long time, many, many, many years. The entire area, entire land is becoming like drought because of the famine. There were no rains, there was no agriculture, people are kind of getting starved. They informed Lord Rishabhadev, and Lord Rishabhadev understood the entire matter. Indra is trying to play pranks with me. Then Lord Rishabhadev, by his own mystic potency, created mystic rains, because of which the entire land became fertile and eventually prosperous. And Indra understood, "I am playing pranks with the Supreme Lord." Immediately he came and begged forgiveness. In order to pacify Lord Rishabhadev, he offered his own daughter Jayanti in marriage to Lord Rishabhadev. And Lord Rishabhadev mercifully accepted her as his wife. So Jayanti became his wife. And through Jayanti, he begot 100 sons who are similar to himself. Out of 100 sons of Lord Rishabhadev, 81 became perfectly qualified brahmanas, humble, learned and dedicated to performing sacrifices. Out of 100, 81 became very wonderful qualified brahmanas for performing yajnas, etc., etc. And the 9 became Paramahamsa Sannyasis, known as Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhubuddha, Pippalada, Avihotra, Drumila, Chamasha and Karabhajana. They are known as Navayogendras. And we hear from them in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5. 4 chapters are dedicated for their teachings. They are wonderfully speak unto King Yadu. It's a very wonderful teaching. They talk about Bhagavad Dharma very elaborately, very nicely, systematically. And these 9 were the sons of Lord Rishabhadev. And 81 plus 9, 90 sons were over. And 10 were remaining. The eldest among all the 100 is Bharat Maharaj, is a great yogi with excellent qualities because of him, the Ajnabha Varsha became known as Bharata Varsha. So as long as Lord Rishabhadev was ruling it was known as Ajnabha Varsha. So when Rishabhadev gave the responsibility to his eldest son Bharat Maharaj, so as Bharat Maharaj became the ruler of this particular land, it became known as Bharata Varsha. And it remained as Bharata Varsha afterwards. And afterwards, no such a great king has come so that the name will change. So like that, this is the whole history of this particular land. And this Bharata Maharaj had 9 younger brothers who are known as Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Badrasena, Indraspik, Vidarbha and Kikata. And they became the rulers of the 9 islands of Bharata Varsha. So within Bharata Varsha, there were 9 divisions. And Bharata Maharaj is the monarch of the entire Bharata Varsha. But he gave the subsidiary responsibilities of these 9 divisions to his 9 younger brothers. They were like local government, state government and central government like that. So the 9 younger brothers of Bharata Maharaj are the 9 sons of Rishabhadev, were the rulers of the 9 islands of Bharata Varsha. And this particular point is mentioned in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 19, where before the conversation between Navayogendras and King Nimi started, so the introduction of the Navayogendras is given. In that case, who are the Navayogendras? Who are his other brothers, etc.? There it is said that Tesham Nava, the remaining 9 sons of Lord Rishabhadev, Navadvipa Patayo, they were the rulers of the 9 islands of Bharata Varsha, Asya Samantata. It was known that they were the rulers of the 9 islands of the Bharata Varsha. It's like that. So eventually Bharata Maharaj married Panchajani, daughter of Vishwarupa, and begot 5 sons like that. Their lineage continues further in the rest of the Bhagavatam, 5th canto. So it's like that. So these are the couple of references we can see from Bhagavatam also, that there are 9 divisions in Bharata Varsha. And they were ruled by the 9 younger brothers of Bharata Maharaj, are the 9 sons of Lord Rishabhadev. While Bharata Maharaj was the complete ruler of the entire Bharata Varsha as well as the entire Bhumandala also. He was the eldest one among all the sons. So he is also the monarch of the entire Bhumandala, but is mainly responsible for Bharata Varsha. So these are the 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha. So from the video published by His Holiness Danavir Goswami Maharaj, Vedic Cosmos, so Maharaj shows the 9 divisions like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is the Bharata Varsha within which the 9 divisions are shown. 9 islands are shown like this. This is another picture. You can see more clearly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And these are the Himalayas. This is Kimpurusha Varsha. These are Hemakuta Mountain. This is Hari Varsha. This is another mountain. These are the Filament Mountains, Kesarachala Mountains of Ilavarta Varsha, like that. So these are the divisions that are shown by His Holiness Danavir Goswami Maharaj. But there is a correction required. The divisions are not like this from here to here. The divisions are actually from north to south. So this is entire Bharata Varsha, whose width from here to here it is 9,000 yojanas. And these are the 9 divisions. So the brown one is the island. The in between the blue one is the water. This ocean water only, it is like this. So like these small strips, this is one first island, second island, third island, fourth island, fifth island, sixth island, seventh island, eighth island. And this bottommost portion, this is the 9th island, which is almost touching the ocean. The major one side is completely ocean, the full touching the ocean. So it is like that. That's why it is mentioned as Sagara Samruta, that which is touching the, bordering the ocean, is the 9th island. So this is the 9th division known as Bharata Khanda. This entire thing is Bharata Varsha, and this is how the divisions are made. Not only Bharata Khanda is 1000 yojanas from north to south, but all the 9 islands are 1000 in width as we measure from north to south. But this is the east, as we saw previously, this is west, and this is north, this is south. So south to north, if you measure 1000, this is 1000, this is 1000, like that. So that is the division. So Vishnu Purana further talks about the 9 division. The previous verse of the Vishnu Purana talked about the entire Bharata Varsha, and this verse talks about Bharata Khanda alone. Within Bharata Varsha, Purve Kirata Yasyante Pashime Yavana Smruta
పూర్వ దేశాధికశ్చైవ కామరూప నివాసిన ఓష్ట్రా కళింగ మగధ దక్షిణత్య కృష్ణస మారుక మాలవశ్చ. ఇట్ సేస్ దట్ విత్ ఇన్ భరతఖండ ఇన్ ద ఈస్ట్ దేర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ నోన్ యాజ్ కిరాటస్, ఇన్ ద వెస్ట్ దేర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ నోన్ యాజ్ యవనస్, అండ్ ఇన్ ద ఈస్ట్ దేర్ ఆర్ కింగ్డమ్స్ నోన్ యాజ్ కామరూప, వరిస్త, కళింగ అండ్ మగధ. And in the south, there are kingdoms known as Marukascha and Malava. Maruka and Malava. These are about some places within Bharatakanda. Some kingdoms within Bharatakanda. And then another verse from Vishnu Purana says that Chatvari Bharate Varshe Yugantara Mahamune Kritam Treta Dvaparancha Kalischa Anyatrana Kvachit. It says that ఇన్ భారత వర్ష చత్వారి భారతే వర్షే. దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ భారత వర్ష, నాట్ అబౌట్ భారతఖండ. దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ అబౌట్ భారతఖండ, బట్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ అబౌట్ భారత వర్ష. ఇన్ భారత వర్ష దేర్ ఆర్ చత్వారి యుగాంతర, దేర్ ఆర్ ఫోర్ యుగాస్, దేర్ ఆర్ ద ఫోర్ యుగాస్ చత్వారి, విచ్ ఆర్ నోన్ యాజ్ కృతయుగ, కృత ఆర్ సత్యయుగ, త్రేతాయుగ, ద్వాపరయుగ అండ్ కలియుగ. ఇన్ భారత వర్ష దేర్ ఈస్ the change of yugas such as Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. And the most important point is Anyatra Na Kochit, which do not exist elsewhere. Within the rest of the universe, other than Bharata Varsha, there is no change of yugas. The change of yugas such as Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali only exists in Bharata Varsha. Not elsewhere in the entire universe. This is the most important point. And here, let us try to recollect one point from the previous session, where while discussing about the Bauma Varsha, the Bauma Sarga, we said that whoever is born in this place, they live for 10,000 years and they experience the happiness like that of Treta Yuga. In Bharata Varsha, in Satya Yuga, people would live for 1,00,000 years. In Treta Yuga, they would live for 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, they would live for 1,000 years. In Kali Yuga, they would live for 100 years. And Treta Yuga indicates the lifespan of 10,000 years. And the people in other 8 Varshas of Jambudvipa are living for 10,000 years, which is like that of Treta Yuga. And hence it is said that they experience the happiness of Treta Yuga. That means in other 8 Varshas, there is only Treta Yuga. The people there won't see Satya Yuga or Dwapara Yuga or Kali Yuga. They only experience Treta Yuga. Whoever is born there, they live for 10,000 years and their circumstances and happiness, everything like that of Treta Yuga. Or in another way, we can see that whatever opulences that are there in other 8 Varshas during in general are available and Bharata Varsha during Treta Yuga. That kind of lifestyle will be there in Treta Yuga. Like that we can think of. So, this is how the description of Bharata Varsha and Bharatakanda are mentioned, quoting from Vishnu Purana. Now, some reference from Vayu Purana. Vayu Purana says, Bharatasya Varshasya Navabedan Nibodatam Sagarantarita Jnayas Te Tu Agamya Parasparam. The 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha are individually separated by the ocean. Sagarantarita Jnayas. The 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha are clearly separated by ocean, the salt water ocean. That's why they are called as Dvipas. And Tu Agamya Parasparam. And one cannot go from one place to other, or one island to other island, at least in the current Kali Yuga. If not for other yugas people are more qualified, they can go from one place to other place. But in Kali Yuga, one cannot go from one place to other place, in spite of our so-called material qualification. So, this is from Vayu Purana. And next, from Siddhanta Shiromani, which the Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila 2.10, wherein it says that, within Bharata Varsha, there are 9 khandas. Khanda means division. They are known as Aindra, Kaseru, Tamravarna, Gabastiman, Kumarika, Naga, Saumya, Varuna and Gandharva. ఐంద్రం కసేరు సకలం కిల తామ్రపర్ణం అన్యద్ గభస్తిమద్ అతస్తే అతశ్చ కౌమారికాఖ్యం నాగం చ సౌమ్యం ఇహ వారుణం అంత్యకండం గాంధర్వ సంజ్ఞం ఇతి భారత వర్ష మధ్యే. ఇతి భారత వర్ష మధ్య మీన్స్ విత్ ఇన్ భారత వర్ష దేర్ ఆర్ 9 ఖండాస్ నోన్ యాజ్ ఐంద్ర కసేరు తామ్రపర్ణ ఎట్సెట్రా. అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ 9 8 ఆర్ సేమ్ నేమ్స్ దట్ ఆర్ మెన్షన్ విష్ణు పురాణ. ఓన్లీ ద 9th నేమ్ అడిషనల్లీ కమ్స్ హియర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ హియర్ యాజ్ కౌమారిక ఆర్ కుమారిక. సో అకార్డింగ్ టు విష్ణు పురాణ వి కాల్ ఇట్ యాజ్ భరతఖండ, అండ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు సిద్ధాంత శూరమణి వి హావ్ టు కాల్ ఇట్ యాజ్ కుమారిక. డిఫరెంట్ నేమ్, దట్స్ ఆల్, దట్ ఇస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్. అండ్ మార్కండే పురాణ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ దెమ్. కర్మ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎంజాయ్డ్ ఎల్స్వేర్ ఎనీవేర్ ఎల్స్. కర్మ ఇస్ స్పెసిఫికల్లీ ట్రీటెడ్ వెరీ స్క్రూటినైజింగ్లీ ఇన్ భారత వర్ష. అదర్ ప్లేసెస్ కర్మ ఇస్ దేర్ బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ దట్ ఎవిడెంట్లీ సీన్ దేర్. ద కర్మ ఈజ్ సూపర్ఫిషియల్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్, బట్ ఇన్ భారత వర్ష కర్మ ఈజ్ స్క్రూటినైజింగ్లీ అబ్జర్వ్డ్ అండ్ ద రిజల్ట్స్ ఆర్ గివెన్ అకార్డింగ్ టు కర్మ. దట్స్ వై దిస్ భారత వర్ష ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ కర్మ భూమి. ద 9th ఐలాండ్ ఈజ్ సరౌండెడ్ బై వాటర్, ఎస్పెషల్లీ ద భరతఖండ. ఇట్ ఈస్ సరౌండెడ్ బై వాటర్. ఇట్ మెజర్స్ 1000 యోజనాస్ ఫ్రమ్ సౌత్ టు నార్త్. అండ్ హియర్ ఇన్ భరతఖండ there are different kinds of people. There is a mixture of both Nechas and Aryas, and they predominate in different places, certain parts of the universe, and this is called karma bhumi. It bestows everything according to one's papa and punya. So whatever activity that we perform which are under category of dharmic activities or adharmic activities, which are known as sinful activities or pious activities, our destiny is determined, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, urdvam gacchanti tattva madhye tishtanti bharata adho gacchanti tamasa. It's like that. Based on our activities, which are from the category of sinful or pious, we get future birth and future destiny, etc. So, these are all different references from different Puranas. And then, in the commentary, Krishna Chakratavar himself writes about this verse, wherein he says, this takes place only in Bharata Varsha, and especially in an area whose dimension is 1000 Yojanas. So whatever is being spoken in that verse, verse number 19 of 19th chapter of 5th canto, takes place in Bharata Varsha, but specifically within Bharatakanda, which is the 9th division of Bharata Varsha. The goals manifest according to the qualities of one's action, caused by Dharma and Adharma. This takes place unavoidably as per the Vedas. Because Vedas say so, if we perform dharmic activities, we are upgraded to our heavenly planets. If we perform activities in ignorance, we are downgraded to lower species and lower planets. And if we perform activities in the mode of passion, we remain here among the humans. If one cannot accomplish liberation, liberation appears on its own. This Bharata Varsha is so special, so unique, that acharyas are keep appearing again and again, and they continue to inspire people in general about the path of bhakti, the path of jnana, path of yoga, path of nishkama karma, practicing which they all will attain liberation. And it also includes sahajya mukti. Even sahajya mukti also can be attained from Bharata Varsha. So it's like that. So this is about the different divisions, characteristics of Bharata Varsha. So the 9 divisions in Bharata Varsha and different nature and characteristics and qualification of these places are briefly kind of touched upon, quoting from various Puranas. And in the remaining chapter of this 19th chapter, in the remaining verses of this 19th chapter, those people, because of their piety, who had gone to the Divya Swarga or Bhauma Swarga, wherever they may be, they are actually glorifying the glories of Bharata Varsha. They actually describe the glories of this Bharata Varsha in the remaining part of that chapter. And they say, this Bharata Varsha is suitable for service to Mukunda. Why? So whatever may be the reason, in comparison to other places, Bharata Varsha is more suitable for service to Lord Mukunda. And then they say that, what kind of pious activities the residents of Bharata Varsha had performed, as a result of which they have got birth in Bharata Varsha, because here there are many, many, many favorable facilities for performing bhakti. Eir janma labdham rushu bharatajire mukunda sevau paikam spruhayina. Here the natural tendency of the people in Bharata Varsha is kind of inclined to worship Lord Mukunda. Other places it is not so much. It is there, but it is not so much. But here there are favorable circumstances. People in general are kind of pushed towards worship of Lord Vishnu. That is the specialty of this Bharata Varsha. And they say that the transient residence in heaven is not at all proper. They have attained because of some piety the transient residence in heaven. Tetam bhukta sargalokam vishalam kshine punye martalokam vishanti. After their piety is over, they have to again come back to Bharata Varsha, Karma Bhumi, something like that. And they say this place is not favorable for worshipping Mukunda because there is no remembrance of the Lord here. So somebody might question, how can you say that? We heard so many prayers, everyone is worshipping Lord Vishnu. Yes, there is remembrance of Lord, but it is not continuous. Because of the presence of the excessive enjoyment of the senses, the remembrance of the Lord will go away. నయత్ర నారాయణ పాద పంకజ స్మృతి ప్రముష్టాతిశాంద్రి ఇషేంద్రియోస్తవాత్ బికాస్ దేర్ ఇస్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ ఫెసిలిటీస్ ఫర్ ద సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ ద రిమెంబరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ ముకుంద విల్ బి క్యారీడ్ అవే విల్ బి ఫర్గాటన్ బట్ ఇన్ భారత వర్ష దేర్ ఈస్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ బట్ ఇట్ డస్ నాట్ గో ఆన్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ ద సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ ఈవెన్చువల్లీ ఎండ్స్ విత్ misery only. That's why people understand the sense gratification is not at all having any substance and they'll turn towards worship of Lord Vishnu, something like that. And then they say that even if we get a moment stay in Bharata Varsha, that is much better than getting the stay in Brahmaloka even for the entire day of Brahma. Because people of Bharata Varsha, by practicing bhakti even in a small lifespan, can attain Vaikuntha very easily. If at all one comes to Satyaloka with a lifespan of Lord Brahma, I mean lifespan of one day of Brahma, it is very difficult for them to attain Vaikuntha because they need to work very, 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 very hard in other places. Even in Swargaloka also they have to work very hard in order to attain, go to Vaikuntha. But in the case of Bharata Varsha, in a small time, within one lifespan, one can attain Vaikuntha. The example is given is that of Katvanga Maharaj. When there was no proper commander-in-chief for the army of Devatas, the Devatas requested Katvanga Maharaj, one of the ancestors of Lord Ram, to fight on the side of Devatas. So he went to Swarga, he fought. Then eventually the Devatas requested Mother Parvati to perform austerities to please Lord Shiva so that Lord Shiva will marry her. And eventually they again requested Mother Parvati that please beget a son from Lord Shiva. Eventually Mother Parvati begot Kartikeya. When Kartikeya was born, then the Devatas told our Katvanga, so my dear sir, thank you very much for whatever you have done. Please retreat from your responsibility of fighting from the side of Devatas. Because we have got Kartikeya, he will lead the army of Devatas. And please ask for a boon, whatever you want, for the service you have done for us. Then Katvanga Maharaj asked, please tell me how much time I have in my life. They said, you only have one muhurta left, about 48 minutes or something like that. Then he told him that, please transport me immediately to my home. They said, why you want to go home? There is no one in your family. He said, still no problem. Please transport me to my home. Then the Devata transported him to Bharata Varsha. Having come to Bharata Varsha, he meditated on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu for one muhurta time. Then he went back to Godhead. Somebody might ask question, he could have done the same thing in Swarga only. But Swarga is not that suitable for meditation. And Swarga does not award the same result by meditating only for one muhurta. So Bharata Varsha is so special, even if one does for small time also, when we get, will get big result. So that is the greatness of Bharata Varsha. And then they say that one should not accept residence even in Brahmaloka. Even in Brahmaloka, one should not accept residence because if if there are no rivers of Lord's feet topics are continuously flowing, if there is no continuous Krishna Katha is going on, one should not accept Bharati and Brahmaloka. If there are no association of devotees, should not accept. If there are no great festivals of sacrifice, great festivals are sacrifices, Sankirtan festivals, etc. are not performed, one should not accept Bharati there. And if there is no continuous chanting of Lord's holy names and holy pastimes, Nama, Rupa, Gunalila, one should not, does not accept birth in Brahmaloka also. Then where one should accept birth? They say that if at all we have some more pious credits left in our quota from performing sacrifices, from chanting the Vedic mantras, from performing charitable acts, may those credits give us birth in Bharata Varsha with the remembrance of the Lord. So many people are getting birth in Bharata Varsha, but they don't want such kind of ordinary birth in Bharata Varsha. They want that birth in Bharata Varsha with the remembrance of Lord Vishnu, so that they can practice bhakti for the entire life, for that life, and can go back home, back to Godhead quickly, instantly, immediately, which is very difficult from other places. So this is the glory and greatness of Bharata Varsha. Of course, there are many verses. I have just put the important points here in these couple of slides. All of you can go through those verses starting from 21 to 28, which are very nicely describing the glories of Bharata Varsha. Same thing. So that was all about description of Bharata Varsha. So Bharata Varsha has nine divisions, known as nine khandas or nine dvipas. Their names are there. The ninth one is important, that is known as Bharata Khanda, Kaumarika Dvipa, Sudarshan Dvipa, etc., etc. So these are all about Bharata Varsha. So let us go through few more slides, then we will take questions, because now the depiction of Bharata Khanda, how does this Bharata Khanda look like? Till now, the characteristics, kingdoms, people, kind of things are touched, the dimensions, measurements. And how does this Bharata Khanda look like? So taking reference from Mahabharata, we'll try to understand this. So the image, the look of this Bharata Khanda is first discovered by Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanuja Jiyar, who was born in 1805, who lived all the way up to 1882. Based on the shlokas of Mahabharata, from Sri Bhishma Parva, from Jambukanda Vinirnaya Parva, 5th chapter. So what are the verses he referred to? He referred to these three verses. So which are there in the English version of Mahabharata, which the Bhandarkar Oriental Research Institute, which is there in Pune, they kind of published. That is English version. So in that book, they come in the 6th chapter, verse number 12, 15 and 16. I have put them here. So these are the three verses taking reference from this. Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanuja Jiyar had drawn the map of entire Bharata Khanda. Now let us examine what they are saying. Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanuja Jiyar is born in Madura Mangalam. After accepting sannyasa, he made his residence in Sri Perambudur. Of course, he would travel to many places, but his mutt is still there in Sri Perambudur, which is the birthplace of Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Pada Ramanujacharya. Even if you go to that place, we can see that. This is the portrait of Sri Thiruvenkata Ramanujar in his ashram in Sri Perambudur. This is another portrait of him, maybe when he took sannyas as a youthful person. So now let us examine those verses of Mahabharata. Sudarshanam pravakshami dvipam te kurunandana parimandalo maharaja dvipo sauchakra samsita. This verse says that this Bharata Khanda is called Sudarshan Dvipa. Sudarshanam pravakshami. Pravakshami means it is told, it is called, it is described as Sudarshanam. Since it looks very beautiful to the eyes of the onlookers. Sudarshanam. This Bharata Khanda looks very beautiful to look at. That's why this Bharata Khanda is also called as Sudarshan Dvipa. Te Kurunandana means, so my dear Kurunandana, my dear son of Kuru, my dear descendant of Kuru, these verses are spoken by Sanjaya unto Dhritarashtra. So these are verses from 5th or 6th chapter. Eventually later on, maybe some chapter in 20s, 21 to 20-30, Bhagavad Gita begins. So these are the discussions just before Bhagavad Gita from Bhishma Parva. So in that way, Sanjay is speaking to Dhritarashtra. So being circular, it looks like the disc of the Lord. Chakra samsitau. Since it is circular, it looks like the disc of the Lord, like Sudarshana disc. Since it is attached to the cyclic time in the form of Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. Again, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. The time goes in cyclic order. Thus, it is attached to the cyclic time in the form of disc preceded by the god Sudarshana. So, in that way. So, here is Sudarshana, Lord Sudarshana. Here is Sudarshana Chakra. And there is a word in this verse. It is called Parimandala. The Sanskrit meaning for Parimandala is sphere, circle, disc, like that. Various meanings will come to Parimandala. So, but the translators of this section, they said as Parimandalo, Sudarshana Deepa is in the form of a globe, spherical structure. Since all this Bharatakanda is rounded like the bale fruit. So they have taken the understanding of Parimandala as spherical, like a globe. And this the Bharatakanda or Sudarshana Deepa looks like a bale fruit. This is the vision of the bale fruit. And in every corner it is cut. That's why it looks like a bale fruit. This is spear. Then the next verse. The previous verse, if you see the number, here this is the 12th verse. And the next verse is 14. It says, Vrikshai pushpapa lopetai sampanna dana danyavan lavanena samudrena samantat parivarita. It says that this particular Sudarshana Dvipa or Bharatakanda, it is full of trees covered with flowers and fruits and with crops of various kinds of vegetation and with many other rich things. Vrikshai pushpa palopetai. There are so many trees which we give flowers and fruits. Sampanna dana danyavan. This entire Bharatakanda is susampannam, is very prosperous with dana, wealth, and danyavan, with different variety of food grains. Danya means food grains. Lavanena samudrena samantas parivarita. This entire Bharatakanda is surrounded by Lavana Samudra. It is surrounded on all sides with salt ocean. Yatacha purusha pashet adarshe mukamatmana evam sudarshana dvipo drushyate chandramandale. Adarshe means mirror. Darshan means to see. Adarshe means that will show us, to us. So, yatacha purusha pashet mukamatpada adarshe mukamatmana. As a person sees his own face in a mirror, every day morning after getting up, after taking bath, after wearing clothes, we put tilak while looking into mirror. Just like we see ourselves in the mirror, evam, similarly, Sudarshana Dvipo Drushyate Chandramandale. Accepting the moon, Chandramandal, as mirror, when Sudarshana Dvipa sees himself in himself or herself, whatever it is, whichever gender we may say, sees itself in the mirror of Chandra, the full moon. How does it look like? Just like early morning when we, while putting tilak, when we take mirror and see, we see our face in the mirror and apply tilak. Similarly, when Bharata Kanda itself sees itself in the mirror of Chandra Mandala, how does it look like? It says that Viramshe pippalastatra, Viramshe chacha shomahan, Sarvaushadi samavyapa, Sarvata paribrahmita. Dvir Amsha, it says that this Bharatakanda has two divisions, two Amshas, two parts. Out of two parts, one part appears to be like pippalastatra. Pippalas means plural. Pippala is singular, pippalas is plural. In one side, Bharatakanda appears to be like the combination of few big pipal leaves, big peepal tree leaves. Peepal tree is Ashwatha Vruksha, which is generally seen in all over India in every village. In front of the village temple, there is always a peepal tree. So it is a Ashwatha Vruksha. The tree leaves. So in one side, Bharatakanda looks like the combination of few big peepal tree leaves. In the other side, Dviram Shesha Cheshu Mahan. The second side of Bharatakanda looks like a big rabbit. Sheshu Mahan means a huge rabbit, and also Cha indicates surrounded by small peepal leaves. Other half of this Bharatakanda appears like the rabbit and small peepal leaf, sacred fig tree. They are all surrounded by all variety of vegetation. The combination of big peepal leaves and the rabbit and small peepal leaves are surrounded by variety of vegetation. This is talking about the image. So the image looks like surrounded by lot of vegetation. And then apastato anya apastatonya vigneya esha sankshepa uchate. It says that besides these portions, the rest is all water. Apa means bhumirapyo nalavayu. Apa means water. The water is situated all over the surface of Bharatakanda, except these portions which appears to be like set of peepal tree leaves and rabbit and other set of peepal tree leaves and vegetation, etc. Remaining all is water. So having gone through these few verses of Mahabharat, Bhishma Parva, Sri Tiruvenkata Ramanuja are contemplated for a while and then draw the map. It appeared to be like this. This is the combination of big peepal leaves on one side of Bharatakanda. This is a big rabbit and small peepal leaf and all the vegetation surrounded by here and there. These are all like different vegetation, etc., etc. So according to his understanding power, his revelation, he drew this map. And he did not know what it means, what is indicating. And after some time, he kind of turned it around. Then it made sense to him. He was born in 1805 and he was living all the way up to 1882. So I think by then the Britishers were ruling the India. The world map might have been flowing around across. So he might have seen the world map at that time. So this particular image of Mahabharat perfectly corroborates with the modern world map. The two peepal leaves are indicating North America, South America. The rabbit is indicating the combination of Africa, Europe, Asia. And other peepal leaf is indicating Africa, and the surrounding vegetation is indicating other small islands in the northern hemisphere, etc., etc. So this is the map of the Bharatakanda and also the modern day world map. So till now, we have discussed that we have Jambudipa, which had got 9 varshas. Out of them, one varsha is known as Bharata Varsha, which is called as Karma Bhumi, and the remaining 8 varshas are called Bhaumaswarga. And within Bharata Varsha, there are 9 divisions known as 9 dvipas or 9 islands or 9 khandas. Among the 9 khandas, the 9th khanda is Bharata Khanda, and that is like a bale fruit. That is like a spherical, because Parimandala word is used in Mahabharat, and the shape of that particular Bharatakanda is exactly matching with our modern day world map. So if you remember that it is talking about Dviramsha, Dviramsha, Dviramsha. This is the entire spherical Bharatakanda. The moon is there in front of it. When Bharatakanda sees from this side, so it appears to be like a big rabbit and big rabbit. And a set of people lives around. When the moon goes on the other side, then Bharatakanda sees himself in the mirror of the moon. Then the other side portion of the Bharatakanda will be seen as two people lives kept together, North America, South America. So like that, the image of Bharatakanda is indicated in Mahabharat Bhishma Parva. And not only that, Sri Tiruvengada Ramanuja actually draw the image of the entire universe. So this is the image of our entire universe. So here we have all these, the surrounding layer, universal layers. And within the universe, here is Mount Meru. And here we have, Bharata Varsha with all the divisions. And here we have the surrounding saltwater ocean, second island, second ocean, third island, third ocean, fourth island, fourth ocean, like that. This thick line is Lokaloka mountain. This is Aloka mountain, Aloka Varsha, etc. Other things we will discuss in the future discussions, etc. These are seven lower planetary systems. These are eight elephants, and this is Shesha holding the entire Bhumandala. And here is pole star, and here is sun. Sun is traveling in his own orbit, etc., 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 like that. And these are the upper planetary systems: Bhurloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, etc., etc. And these are the seven upper seven heavens, etc., etc. And here is the image which we are talking about: the rabbit, people leaves. And here is how eclipse is happening: solar eclipse, lunar eclipse. How it is happening? That description about that. And here is the chariot of sun. Sun god chariot is there. So like that, all these things are drawn by him. The entire picture of the universe in one picture. So till now, whatever we have discussed, everything is there in a small video clip from Bhagavad Cosmology. And let us go through this video, and then we'll take questions based on whatever we have discussed till now. And this video kind of talks about what Sri Tiruvengada Ramanujar did. How did he draw the entire image, that particular details? If the video voice is audible, Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
For the diagram was not to go unfulfilled. Srila Prabhupada's desire for the diagram was not to go unfulfilled. That elusive map was discovered by Srila Prabhupada's disciples at the holy village of Melukote, some 50 kilometers north of Mysore, Karnataka, in India. This diagram accurately depicted the entire cosmology of Srimad Bhagavatam in an ingenious yet simple rendering. The person through whom it was revealed to the world was the 19th century scholar saint Tiruvenkata Ramanuja G.R. Swami. Born in Sri Purumbudur, Tamil Nadu, Tiruvenkata Swami went on to become an acharya or spiritual leader in the preceptorial line known as the Sri Sampradaya. He spent several years of his life in Melukote, which 900 years earlier had been the residence place of Sripad Ramanujacharya, the most prominent acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. At Melukote, in the thousand-year-old temple, Tiruvenkata Swami studied and taught the Vedas and also worshipped the deity of Tiru Cheluva Narayan. One day, while studying the Mahabharata, a 5,000-year-old epic of ancient India, he came across some intriguing verses. In the fifth chapter of Jambukanda, Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata, it is said,
Sudarshanam pravakshami dvipastu guru nandana parimandalo maharaja dvipoyam chakra samstita yato hi purusha pashye darshanam mukham atmana evam sudarshana dvipo drishyate chandra mandale dviramche pippalastatra dviramche cha saso mahan sarvaushadhi samavayais sarvata parivarita.
This Bharat Khanda is called Sudarshana Dvip, since it looks beautiful to the eyes of the onlookers. Being circular, it looks like the disc of the Lord, and it is attached to cyclic time in the form of a disc presided over by Lord Sudarshana. Bharat Khanda is in the form of a globe, since all of its four corners are rounded like the bale fruit. When viewed from the moon, half of Bharat Khanda appears like the rabbit and a small peepal leaf, while the other half appears in the form of a big peepal leaf, with all of them surrounded by varieties of vegetation. Pondering the verses, he became perplexed. What on earth can a rabbit and peepal leaves have to do with geography or cosmography? As he sought to understand their meaning, he contemplated, meditated, and prayed. Finally, by divine inspiration, he sketched a drawing of the rabbit and the peepal leaves, but still remained mystified about their connection with the earth's geography. Suddenly it dawned on him that if the drawing was turned upside down, the rabbit perfectly corresponded with Europe, Asia, and Africa, while the peepal leaves corresponded with North America, South America, and Australia. These continents comprise our earth, which the Mahabharata calls Bharat Khanda. Vishnu Purana also describes the earth as Bharat Khanda and gives its diameter as 8,000 miles. The earth is also referred to by the name Bharat Khanda in the invocation Sankalpa mantra chanted by Brahmana priests since time immemorial up until the present day.
Jambudvipe Bharatavarshe Bharatakhande Meroho
Vedic cosmology gives descriptions of the entire cosmos, including its subtle features. Perception and access to these subtle features, however, requires karmic qualification. Consequently, much of the cosmos described earlier, as well as parts of the cosmography about to be described, are imperceptible and inaccessible to us earthly inhabitants. Bharat Khanda is one of the nine islands of the larger and originally bow-shaped Bharat Varsha, which was divided by the sons of Sagara. Being completely surrounded by water, the islands are mutually unreachable. In the Vedas, Bharat Khanda, our earth, is also referred to by other names such as Sudarshan Dvip, Kumarika Dvip, and Navadvip, etc. Prabhupada.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay. So that was a small video clip about Bharat Khanda. Any questions based on the discussion till now?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you.
Sorry, your voice is not audible.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yeah, now it is better.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful explaining and so many points, Prabhuji. Thank you so much once again. And that video really helped us. So there are some Kadamba Priya Mataji. You can please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have a couple of questions, Prabhu, if you permit me. Prabhu, in the Bharat Varsha that you describe is 9,000 yojanas. And so it is divided into nine portions. So means nice. one of the one khanda is like 1,000. So it's like the earth is also like 1,000 yojanas. So it's fitting exactly in that, Prabhuji.
That we will see in the upcoming slides. Whether it is fitting 1,000 or not, we'll see in the upcoming slides.
Okay, Prabhu. And the second question, Prabhuji, is in the description of the motion of the sun, when the sun is rotating, it's rotating as per 24 hours, as per the our Earth's time in 24 hours. But in the Jambudvip, the age is 1,000, like 10,000 years or something like that. So the sun is also rotating over there. And then how can we relate the age difference, the time difference on the Earth?
Sunil, wait. The way we are experiencing day and night in Bharatakhanda, same experience will be there in the entire Bharatavarsha, the same experience there in the entire Jambudvipa, the same experience there in the entire Bhumandala. For the entire Bhumandala, everyone will have daytime equal to 12 hours, nighttime equal to another 12 hours.
Okay.
So we live at max 100 years. But the people in these rest of the 8 Varshas, they live for 10,000 years, according to our time scale.
Okay, Papa.
And if you remember, I mentioned while discussing that, as soon as the parents come together, they conceive child, within one muhurta child is born. Within another muhurta, they become youth. And for the next 10,000 years, they remain youth. They don't grow old. And in their 10,000th year, they beget children and they come down.
Okay. And Prabhuji, like if you are in the Bharat, if you are in the Bharat Khanda, if you are on the earth, so if you face, because if you are looking from the north and south, so south is Indian side is the south side, and the north side is the Canadian or the American side. So on the Canadian American side, we have the Himalaya range, like in the Bharat Varsha. Why can't we see Himalaya those things, Prabhuji? Like, are they like spiritual, like or subtle?
You need to wait for two more classes. We will discuss about it. Why we are not seeing that. After two classes, we will discuss. Maybe Thursday, we'll be discussing about it.
Okay,
Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Other devotees, quickly. Don't take time. We don't have much time.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for an incredible class. Just amazing. I have just one question about, I just want to clarify, first of all, that you said once you take birth in a particular khanda, we cannot move between the khandas, right? We stay where we are. Do we know the differences between each khanda? What are the differences in lifestyle and things like that? Do we know?
At least we don't have any description within Ramayana, Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. So our other Puranas only mention about the divisions, and they kind of state that they are also people like us, but they also follow Varnashrama culture. They are also other category of human beings only, but details we don't know. So we can just think of the way we are living, the way they also live in those places. That's how we can understand.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Vamshidhari Prabhuji, please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So, when we say that this Bharat Varsha is divided into 9 divisions and it is all surrounded by salt ocean, but we see that based on the Mahabharata also, which you explained, that on earth we have the salt ocean. But there is a salt ocean outside also, like, because everywhere it's a salt ocean surrounded around Jambudvip, right?
Yes. So we are not talking about the salt ocean that is there on the surface of the earth. That is not in discussion as of now. The discussion is all about, there are 9 strips. You see 9 strip? And this strip has got salt water. This blue line is the salt water ocean, which is there outside. The salt water ocean, that actually goes like a blue line here.
Right.
This ocean we are talking. When we are talking about the 9th one, Sagara Samruta, so it is connected very closely with the main saltwater ocean, which is surrounding Jambudvipa. It's like that. That is the understanding.
Okay.
So as of now, we are not discussing about the saltwater ocean, which is there on the surface of the Bharatakhanda. That we will discuss in the future sessions.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu. Okay.
So for example, I just go back a couple of slides. So based on that image, which Maharaj showed in that... I'm sorry, going back very much. So, of course, in the video also they were there. yeah, this image. You see, these are like islands. Island means like this. The water is there all around. According to our modern textbooks, there's something like some land is protruding from the ocean. That is island. Mm-hmm. So these are all the saltwater ocean which is surrounding entire Jambudvipa. That is coming in between. Mm-hmm. So instead of putting these 9 divisions like this, you put them like this. So there is some land portion and water, land portion, water like that. That is how we are supposed to see them. Because the entire Bharatavarsha is about 9,000 yojanas in width. And each and every island is about 1,000 yojanas in width. It is cut into 9 pieces and they are separated by water. It's like that.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Okay. So when we see the atmosphere around the earth, so that is not surrounded by water. So that's where I was getting confused.
So you want to see this water down below?
Yeah. Like around the earth, we see the atmosphere, like the air. So
yes.
So how do we visualize
this,
that?
this earth, this Bharatakanda is touching the saltwater ocean at the South Pole, not all over.
Uh-huh.
It is touching at the South Pole.
Okay.
So how it is touching the South Pole and all, we'll discuss in the future chapters.
Okay,
currently, we are only talking about the divisions.
Okay.
So there are 9 divisions in Bharatavarsha. Among the 9, 9th one is Bharatakanda and it is our earth globe.
Okay.
So it's more details we'll understand from Bhugola Varanam book. That will be after maybe 1 or 2 classes later.
Okay. Sure, Prabhuji. I will wait for those classes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Suresh Vasham Prabhuji, please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. The session has been incomprehensible, Prabhu. One has to contemplate, reread, listen, you know, understand. And you are a very highly qualified person, Prabhu, material education-wise also. And you are able to, you know, assimilate and give us this Bhagavad cosmology for us.
Prabhuji, it's okay. Please go ahead with the question.
In a comprehensible form. Yeah, sure, Prabhu. So Prabhu, what are the significant difference, Prabhu, between Bharatavarsha and Bharatakanda? Like we saw between Bhauma Sarga and this one, we see significant difference. Is there any significant difference, Prabhu, between Bharatavarsha and Bharatakanda?
See, Bharatakanda is like one state in the India. We have different states in India, like Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Andhra Pradesh, like that. So Bharatakanda is one state and Bharatavarsha is the India, whole country.
Okay. So
that's how we have to understand. Since out of the 9 divisions, Bharatakanda is special, the entire area gets the name Bharatavarsha.
Okay. So, Prabhu, when we see this, the Bharatakanda, the last section of the 9 divisions, right? The last section of 9 division, until unless you put the circular disc, right? Otherwise, it doesn't look like a circular disc, right, Prabhu? If you see, until unless you put that, superimpose that image, you know, it doesn't look like a circular disc. It looks like a bowstring or something like that. So, how are putting that image, Prabhu?
I am not putting based on the details mentioned in our literature. It is supposed to be like this. Even here, Maharaj also puts a circular disc here. So why it is like that? The question many devotees asked. So the reason is, it is supposed to be like a bow string at the end. When you cut into different 9 divisions, the 9th one will be like a bow, small bow. It is supposed to be like a small triangle. But in that small triangle also, other portion of the earth is either submerged into the ocean or dug by the sons of Sagar Maharaj, whatever it is, what remained is like a spherical. See, for example, if this is one of the 9 islands, consider it, and you trim it on the sides, trim it, and make it like a spear, is it possible to make this particular island, whatever thing is shown here, can you make it like a spear? By trimming it? Yes or no?
Yes, Prabhu.
So like that you understand. How it happened, when it happened, I also don't know. None of the scriptures clearly mentioned. But somehow or other, this particular place became like spear.
Okay. So when we say the earth moves, right? So what do you mean by earth moves? Means only this part is moving or the entire Bhumandala is moving?
I don't think so. Since last week, we never discussed that earth is moving. Did we?
No.
Did we ever say earth moving?
Not yet.
Then how can you claim that we are saying that earth is moving?
Okay, so that's a general conception, right, Prabhu? Like from bringing that conception from outside, what I learned.
No, keep it outside only. Don't bring in.
Okay.
We have never said till now Earth is moving. And if at all we say, let us wait in the future, whether we are going to say it or not.
Okay. So, yeah, Prabhu, one more question. From where, when we saw these seven Varshas, right? So the seven Dvipas, right? The seven Dvipas to nine, it became nine.
Sorry, you are losing the context. Okay. The seven Dvipas are in the Bhumandala.
Yes.
Out of the seven, we have chosen one, the central one, that is Jambudvipa.
Jambudvipa, yes.
In Jambudvipa, there are nine Varshas.
Mm-hmm.
Among the nine Varshas, this is Bharata Varsha. And yes. Within Bharata Varsha, there are nine Dvipas.
Okay, so 7 to 9, 9 to 9, 9 to 9 again. Right, Prabhu?
Mm.
Okay, okay. So, okay, I'll ask my question, Prabhu. Let me think. So, where it was decided that how that all other things are Bauma Sarga and this became Karma Bhumi, Prabhu? Like this Bharata Khanda, right, became Karma Bhumi? Like how that, like just...
It is from the very beginning. That's how the creation is made. It is not somewhere, some point of time in the history. This is how the creation was made. The creation was made with some places are meant for enjoyment, some places are meant for karma, some places are meant for punishment. It's all the original plan of the Supreme Lord.
Okay. So one question, Prabhu. Okay. So one question, Prabhu. When Vamanadev pierced the earth surface, pierced the Bhumandala, not the earth surface, Bhumandala, then the Karanodaka ocean started coming inside, right?
Sorry, he did not pierce the Bhumandala. He pierced the universal shell.
Yeah, universal shell.
With one feet, he occupied the Bhumandala. With other feet, he occupied the upper planet systems. Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Jemaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka.
Yes.
And the second feet, the toenail, the big thumb toenail, pierced the universal shell.
Yes, universal shell, Prabhu. Yeah, yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
It is Brahmanda shell, not Bhumandala shell.
Yeah, Brahmanda shell, yes. So, does this shell, because the water is coming from the Karanodaka ocean, doesn't get filled up, Prabhu, this shell?
Prabhuji, it is Lord's pastime, Prabhuji. Don't apply our human logic.
Okay.
Lord wanted to bring Ganga in.
Okay.
So, if he is creating a hole, can't he put the restriction on the hole?
Yeah,
it is not our putting hole so that it will overflooded. So it is Lord's activity. So he knows what he is doing and why he is doing. It did not happen by the way, by chance. He wanted to do it and he purposefully did it.
Okay. Yeah, Prabhu, one general question, Prabhu. Say we see these days, space expedition is becoming very popular, right? So they say they go till 20 miles or 30 miles to the surface, right? From the earth surface they go. So how much are they able to see, Prabhu? Like, are they seeing the other khandas also? Or they are able to see only the Bharata Khanda?
See, Prabhuji, they are going into space. And what they are seeing, kindly ask them, not me. How can I answer?
No, general perspective, right, Prabhu?
Prabhuji, I don't, Prabhuji. I'm very poor in what's happening outside. I don't generally read all those things.
Okay.
So something from scriptures, if you ask me, we can present, but not what's happening outside.
Okay, no problem.
So what they are seeing and where they are going, etc., I don't have any knowledge about it. So it is better and not good for me to speak on that.
Okay, makes sense, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
And that information you can actually search in the Google. And what they are seeing, they might have stated in their interviews, etc., after coming back.
Put these two things together and understand, Prabhu, how what they are seeing and what we are reading from Bhagavad cosmology, any correlation there or what like that, Prabhu.
Wait till Thursday.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, you said, we said Earth is not moving. So when we go to India from here, while going, it's 22 hours, and while coming back it's 23 hours. So 1 hour we have to sit on the plane extra. Why? Because the earth is moving.
The flight
because from India to America to catch the place, the plane has to move, travel more because Earth is moving.
Okay, I appreciate your understanding your feelings, but see, kindly do not ask such questions now. We have not gone to the movements of planets, etc. That will be our last discussion, the discussion of our last part of our presentations. So right now we are not talking about the movements, etc., etc. We are just talking about the divisions. So I have stated in the beginning of our sessions also, kindly do not ask any questions beyond our current discussion. So it would be appreciative if we discuss questions based on our current discussion. And for your question, the answer is, when the flight is traveling along the current of air, it goes faster. When it is going against to the current of air, it will take more time, more inertia, more energy. So that gives answer why it is taking more time. Of course, the modern man speaks in terms of the movement of earth, etc. That all we'll try to address in the future sessions. So whenever it is going to come. So for now, this is my answer. Going along with the air current, going against to the air current will be different. It will take more time, more energy, more fuel, etc.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We have one question in the chat box. I'll read it for you. In the diagram, it was shown as a horizontal line division, but we see then the Bharatkhanda is circular like a bale fruit. Can you explain how to understand this?
So this portion looks like a triangular or a small, exactly what we call in a circle when you cut small portion. So it looks like that, actually a small portion of the circle. So, but the other part of this Bharatakhanda, either it is being submerged into the ocean or it is dug by like the people of sons of Sagar Maharaj. That's how it became a spherical. So, I mean, there is no Shastric description anywhere. Shastra talks about it being spherical, but why it became spherical, nowhere it is presented. So, these are two simple assumptions we can have.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. And I'll just continue the same. Mataji, have other question. Mahabharata describes Swarga as a goal of human beings. Which Swarga is this?
Divya Swarga. So Mahabharata is a scripture of presenting Dharmartha Kama primarily, Moksha secondarily, Bhakti tertiarily. So basically it talks about the human achievement is, the human goal is supposed to be Swarga. So that Swarga is basically Bhuvarloka or Swargal. Primarily Swargaloka, if not that, Bhuvarloka, that is Pitruloka.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. And one more thing. In the beginning of the video, we heard Srila Prabhupada describes of the map was fulfilled. Can you explain more?
So basically, Srila Prabhupada wanted during those years, 1973-74, when the first stone laying ceremony of Mayapur completed, they wanted to construct the temple. And Prabhupada wanted some of his disciples to travel across India and talk to many of the astrologers and many of the experts in this Indian astronomy and Indian cosmology, etc., etc., so that they will understand it very nicely and the temple construction will happen accordingly. So at that time, Prabhupada told them, collect all the drawings which our ancient sages have drawn in relation to the universal structure based on Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Purana and Vayu Purana, etc., etc. So when they went to Melkote and also Sri Perambudur, they found out these drawings which I showed in that image. So this drawing in Melkote as well as Sri Perambudur, because this drawing is drawn in Melkote only. When the Trivenkat Ramanujaji is in Melkote, spending some time there, he drew this image. So that kind of, this gives like more clarity on the shape of earth and other things, etc., like that. So that is how, that is fulfilled means not the complete desire, but the beginning where getting some drawings, important drawings with which we will get some information about the structure of the universe, etc., in that way.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. So are there any other devotees who have any other questions for Prabhuji? If nobody have any questions or realization, Prabhuji, okay. Gauranga. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question. Thank you so much, first of all, for all your sessions. I have no words to express it. I've been taken off to a different realm in my mind. So my question is, Prabhuji, when you said about how people can go directly to Vaikuntha by being born in Bharatavarsha, does it also apply to Bharatakhanda, or is it specifically only to Bharatakhanda, or the entire Bharatavarsha? And supporting to that question, there is another question. So we have heard so many times, even if you get liberation to go into the Vaikunthas, first you'll be put in the Bhaumalilas, and then you will get your complete liberation into the actual spiritual world. How does that apply in this context? Like, will we be going to any of those swargas, like for the different varshas and dvipas? Or maybe my question is wrong altogether, Prabhuji. I don't know.
No. The discussion here in this Bhagavatam is not going to other varshas or other lokas out of the 14 planetary systems. Basically, Bharatavarsha has got two special features. One is, it being Karma Bhumi, it offers suitable facilities for practicing bhakti, and by working in shorter amount or shorter span of time, in shorter way, one can easily go back home back to Godhead. But in other places, one need to work hard, one need to work for a long time in order to go to spiritual world. But going to spiritual world, taking birth in Bhaumalila, taking part of Lord Krishna's, Lord's pastimes, etc., there are all details. Here the thing is not going back to Godhead. It is about the facilities that are offered. The circumstances are favorable in Bharatavarsha to practice bhakti than other places.
Okay, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
That is the context.
Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We had one more question in the chat. Do you have time, Prabhuji? Shall I read it
for you? Please. If there are no questions, I thought we'll go ahead. Few more, little couple of... Okay, it's already 7:26. Okay, please. We'll take only questions. Yeah.
Can you please explain how Indra's daughter was married to Rishabhadev when the Devatas only have children in their very last year? We hear of Indra's son also fighting in battle.
I have mentioned also, in the heaven there are two category people. One category people who live for the entire Manvantara duration. They are like the administrators who will be looking after the maintenance of the entire universe. They are the permanent residents of those abodes. But others who are like brief visitors, those who come on tourism, because they have done piety in Karma, in Bharatavarsha. As a result of that piety, they will go to heaven. They spend some nice time there. When their piety is over, they come down. And those people are offering these prayers which we discussed in the previous few slides. But these main devatas like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, they are all supposed to stay there for entire Manvantara. They are supposed to look after the welfare and the maintenance of the entire universe, etc. And they will have children as per the necessity or the need of the hour, etc. Those rules which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam slokas are not applicable to them. So the rules are applicable to those people who are keep moving here and there. Aprama, Bhuvana, Loka, Punaravartana, Arjuna, those are going up and down. For them, that is applicable.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So like that.
Yeah, devotees, anybody have any other questions? Prabhuji, you said you want to continue, or we'll be ending here, you said?
No, we'll be ending because it's already 28, it's late. Okay. So in the next class, that is tomorrow, we will discuss few more important aspects of Bharatakanda. Why Bharatakanda and Bharatavarsha is so special, and why since it is Karmabhumi, and why it is so special in awarding perfection of human life, that is going back home, back to God, attaining liberation, etc. Those aspects we'll touch upon tomorrow. And yeah, request everyone to be present. Thank you very much. We'll stop here for today. Thank you very much for joining for the entire thank session.
You. Thank you so much for
watching. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much for giving your very valuable time and association. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpataru.
Thank you very much.
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.